Welcome to Rock That Relationship, a podcast about all things relationship with Corey and Tracy.
Now let's get real and start creating relationships that rock.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode one of season six of Rock That Relationship. We are in front of, I don't know, I was trying to figure out, is this a live studio audience or is this just like a room with a bunch of people in it?
No, I'm not sure what this is. No, it's a live studio audience.
Live studio audience. Yeah, okay, exactly. We're in front of a live studio audience of 712 people.
At the Tucson Hop Shop, one of the coolest places in Tucson.
And we have such a great group of people here tonight, and we are going to kick off our season with our friends, old and new, amongst us tonight. So thank you, everyone, for being here, and thanks, Tracy. We get to kick off another season.
I know. It's awesome.
I know. Okay, so tonight's topic is moving in.
Oh, great.
Aren't you excited that we picked this topic?
Yes, I am, because I just had somebody move in a couple weeks ago.
I know.
May or may not be sitting here, so anything I say, talk to her about it later.
Cannon will be held against you.
Yes, it will. It will be held against me.
I know. Okay, so this is really timely, right?
Yes.
It is. So it's really timely for you. But both of us have had opportunities where we've lived with people.
Yes.
Yes. How many people have you lived with? Like romantically, not like some passerby.
Why are you always asking me these questions that put me on the spot? Because maybe 8 to 10. It's hard to say. I don't know. I have to really go back and count it up. It's going to take me a while.
Okay, 8 to 10 romantic partners that you've lived with.
Yes.
For more than 2 months.
Yeah.
Does that number go down?
Maybe 6. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Okay. But you have.
I've had a long and storied history. I am over 50.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
So I've.
And how many have you lived?
Four.
With? Okay.
Four. Yeah.
And you're what? 2 years? 3 years younger than me?
Yeah. Three years. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So we both have.
But your one lasted much longer than mine. Longest was 8. But I've had 2, 8, and a 5, and some others.
Yeah. Some others. Okay. Mine have all been longer. My relationships have been longer than that. But okay. So. Let me ask you, because I know you and I differ on pretty much everything.
Mm-hmm.
So what was a determining factor for you to say, hey, let's move in together? To
each time?
Well, was there like a theme of this, or was it everybody was different?
That's a good question. I like to live on the edge. So I feel like it's best to get to know someone by moving in with them. That may be an uncommon attitude in the world, but. How else are you going to get to know somebody until you live with them?
Well, you date them.
But you live with them while you date them.
I suppose.
I mean, it depends on whether you have kids and all that, but
okay.
That actually wasn't even a factor when I moved in with someone with kids.
Say,
that
went
pretty quick too.
Okay.
I really believe you need to live with someone to get to know them.
Okay. So what was the fastest it was for you to move in with somebody?
Answer that question here.
Oh.
It was real fast.
Yeah. Oh, real. As a professor, that is a quantitative number, real.
It's real, real fast.
Okay. All right. So.
That one was a mistake though.
That one was a mistake?
Yeah. That was a 6 month mistake. But it was, it actually was the most cathartic experience of my life as well. So.
Okay.
It really helped me to work through some stuff.
Okay. Well, I have you beat. Because my fastest was we decided within 3 days we were going to move in.
See?
And the only reason it didn't happen faster was because
She was across the country,
and we had to logistically do it. 3 days.
And did you talk about it before you did that? Or you just, let's just do it. See?
But we were together for over a decade. So.
When you decided to move into.
No, after. So I mean, I don't know.
And see? You made the decision in 3 days, and then you were together for over 13 years.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So, and all the movies that we watch, they're all about, you know, the guy saw the girl and right before they went off to Europe for World War II, and everyone thinks that's so great, and then they make fun of lesbians for moving in together so quickly.
That's how
it happens. When you know, you know.
All right. When you know, you know. Okay, but what's the longest, though, it's ever been for you?
For me?
To decide to move in with someone.
Well, there are people I dated for over a year who I never lived with.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was a good idea. Because I own my own house. They had their own house. I knew it wasn't going to work out.
Okay. Okay. So in that case, it wasn't a matter of getting to know them while living with them. It's just the circumstances.
Right. Right.
Okay.
But otherwise, people who I end up living together with for a long time, it was several months of dating first.
Several months.
Yeah. 3 days.
Three days.
Can't throw shade at me
I
now.
Know, but we did know each other from before. But anyways, okay, so let's talk a little bit about moving in, okay? So we've determined sort of that there is no too fast.
Right. There's really, no too fast and that. No too slow. It's no, very personal.
It's very personal. Okay. Yeah. So we can't agree on that. This is the first time we probably ever agreed on anything.
I always said the best relationship would be lived in a duplex, right? You have yours, they have theirs, and you're right next to each other, and then you have that joining door. I don't know if you ever saw that show where the two cops weren't supposed to be dating, so they had the bookcase in front of their doors, and they would go back and forth
that
night.
The show.
Yeah, the man and woman from like the 80s.
They're in the show?
So they're having a secret relationship.
Okay.
So if you have your own space, then why should you move in together? Or if you live real close, if you live within a mile of each other.
Well, that's interesting then. Okay,
two miles.
Yeah, right? I mean, if you live really close together, are you saying you should never move in together?
Maybe you shouldn't. Why should you?
Okay, well, why did you?
I didn't. I never lived that close to anyone.
But why did you want to live with somebody? Besides getting to know them.
Well.
What is it about living together that's so awesome?
Well, now, currently, it's because I like it so much. It's like nesting. And I never was into nesting before, but now I am.
Now you're
And I didn't think I would be. Yeah.
Okay.
I was very determined not to be into that. I was very resistant to a lot of couple things that now I'm doing.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So, nesting. Okay. All right. I love this. I have to just say, so I recently texted Tracy and I said, where are you? It is taking you like 4 hours to reply to my text. Like what is
And what's my normal reply time?
Like 4 seconds. And I'm like, what is happening? And I'm like, oh, that's right.
Jeez. It's not like I'm not going out and stuff, but like I'm turning bright red here.
I know you're getting.
I know.
I know. Very hot. This is good. Well, we can transition the subject.
So okay, a little bit.
Okay. All right. Okay. So you live with someone. Let me ask you this, because this is always so different and a point of contention for people is how do you negotiate all the like the details, like who pays for what, and do you have a joint bank account, and who cleans up, and who does the chores? All of those little details.
Why don't you tell us? Because I'm sure you have a spreadsheet about it.
I do. Well, yeah. I do. Well, let me tell you. So I have tried a couple different things. One is I tried that we'll come together and figure it out. And that was a hot mess. So that didn't work for me.
Well, what does that mean exactly? Like you didn't talk about anything. You just moved in.
No, we just
together.
Moved in and we had no conversation at all. We're just like, oh, okay, cool. You got your stuff. Just let's put it in a drawer. That didn't work. That was younger though. But then by the time I got to another relationship, I decided that I needed to have very, very specific details on who did what. So we created what was called a cohabitation agreement. And
I'm the lawyer, and yet that's okay. The professor's coming up with that. Didn't that seem a little anti-romantic?
It was very anti-romantic, but it had in there who was paying for what. It had in there like that we were going to be on each other's cell phone plans, and if we broke up, that you were going to like disconnect our phone numbers. Who would get the pet if something happened? Who did all the chores? Everything was written on it. And not only did we sign it, but we got it notarized. Oh my goodness. And then every time we made a change to it, we had to like run back to the notary.
Oh my God.
So, but I will tell you.
And how long did that relationship last?
It lasted long enough and it was helpful. And then, you know, when the relationship ended, I mean, I got to keep the cat. So I mean, like it worked.
But when it ended, did you actually honor all the terms?
We honored every term.
That's nice. And did you do it again? The cohabitation agreement.
I've never done it since that relationship because I realized that it's karmic, right? By like assuming we're going to break up. So I create a little relationship agreement about how we're going to live together.
But as a lawyer, I advise people to do that. But I don't do it. I just go for whatever the heck happens.
Okay. So then how do you determine it? I determined it by that, but now I'm in a place where I will talk through like who's doing what, you know, all the little details.
I'll talk through later, but I will talk through a few things.
Like what? Like what's most important to you?
Okay. I take it back. I actually don't talk through any of it.
You don't talk through any of it. So it just comes up and then you're like, oh no, this is an issue.
Yeah.
And then
I think so. What's happening now.
Okay. Yeah. You just discover what might be an issue. Okay.
Yeah. Why create an issue before? I'm not a pre-worrier, right?
I am a pre-worrier.
You're a pre-worrier. You're like to anticipate everything. Exactly. I kind of let whatever's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And then I deal with the consequences later.
Yes. I'm aware.
Yes. Yeah.
As you've cried on my doorstep.
Well,
That's right on your doorstep.
Exactly.
So I think
it cuts both ways. You can either be totally prepared or you can just wing it and see what happens.
Or you can probably do a happy medium. I think there's somewhere between a cohabitation agreement and not mentioning anything at all.
Well, I think you should discuss certain things. And if you have kids, you should really talk about it before you get moving in together, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a whole other factor.
Right.
But without kids, like pets, are pets kids? I want to ask the audience. Are pets kids? Yes. Pets are, you have to really think about pets.
Well, you raise pets, but as a parent, I would say they are a little different.
Like, I don't know. They take a lot of my time.
I wouldn't leave my daughter home in like a cage with a bowl of dry food and just say, make it, kid.
Yeah, but that's the thing though, but do you know how much time? So my current situation brought in two dogs. I have two dogs and a cat, and I probably spend, you're wondering why I'm not texting you back. You think it's all just, you know, awesome things happening, but really it's dogs being walked, dogs like trying to manage the dogs.
Okay.
Like so dogs to get along with each other.
How do you determine like the dog duties? Do each of you care for your own animals or do you like jointly?
No, we're jointly doing it now. But it takes that at one point I'm like, you do your two for eating, I'll do my three, and then we'll, you know, I'll play with them all and put them where they need to be. But it's gotten very, it's been very tense there a little bit.
I can imagine.
Yeah, exactly. And I think there's some people who have more feelings about like what's going to happen to their pets than others. Some people get really riled up about it. I'm like, throw them in together and see what happens.
Yeah.
Other people don't do that.
Yeah.
We did end up getting, you know, the buzzer collars because it like amped up my puppy, right? She's 18 months old and now she's having, I'd say more than the people, but like this weekend, I almost lost my mind just based on the amount of pet beds, the dog beds on the floor. I almost couldn't handle it. And all the furniture was pushed into one place so the dog beds could be there. And it looked like a heroin den for dogs. Yeah. And I was like, I cannot do this. I can't live this way. I don't put the furniture outside and just put the dog beds because I can't have it all together.
Okay.
Yeah. So actually, for me, the most tense thing has been animals.
That blending in animals?
Yeah.
Okay.
Blending animals and mattress.
And the mattress?
We can talk about that later, but I have a mattress topper and it doesn't always work with two people and three dogs.
What happens?
And sometimes there's four dogs.
Was there like pop up?
Because the topper is like mushy. So then the body weight changes and then suddenly there's a dog here and do you want the dogs in your bed? See, you're a cat person. Do you let your cats in your bed?
Oh yeah.
Well, they're smaller than dogs.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
So now I have an actual mattress at the base of the mattress for the dogs, but then at 2 a.m., suddenly there's two dogs in my face and a cat, and it's gotten very uncomfortable because mostly I'm curled in a ball and sleeping up on the two pillows. Yeah.
So when we're talking about moving in, we're not talking about moving in with our partner. We're talking about moving in with your partner's dogs.
It's the same.
That's really,
here's something that is very serious, right? You won't date someone with kids. You didn't want to date someone with kids. When you date someone with kids, you're marrying their kids. If you marry someone or get with someone with pets, you're going to take on those pets.
Right.
People aren't going to get rid of their pets.
I know. I've been asked to get rid of my pet.
Exactly.
I've talked about it on this show a million times.
I didn't.
Okay, so, all right.
Kudos to you.
I know.
Yeah.
I said, you can get allergy shots. Anyway, so.
You can move back across the country. You know,
okay, so let's talk about the boundary stuff, the you, me, us. Okay, so I know this is always a point of contention. Okay, so let's start by talking about routines. Like, we're older. We're over 50. We have our routines. We know what we like. I get up at the same time every day. I eat the same thing for lunch every single day. Go to bed at the same time every night. I mean, it is a routine.
I like to live on the edge. I just would like to say I do not have a routine at all. I will go to bed when I feel like it. I will get up when I feel like it. I will eat whatever I want that day.
But you do have a lifestyle, though. You like to be able to have time to exercise.
You
being a vegan is important to you.
Yes.
You like to be able to have kind of the freedom to come and go. You're very social.
Yes.
So there are part of your lifestyle that is routine in a way, even though it's not the same every day. So we both have sort of this like lifestyle thing, and we know that as we get into a certain age, we have these lifestyles we want. What do you do have you ever like lived with someone where your lifestyle was different?
Yes, radically.
Okay.
And that ended in divorce after 8 years.
Okay.
What was that person was an introvert. except like to have giant parties. I didn't like to have giant parties, but I was more extroverted, like the quiet time in the house, that kind of thing. I don't go for that. My house is like a revolving door of just people coming in and out, animals going at all hours. Like I like a more like active lifestyle. If I don't exercise for a day, I go crazy and then I start becoming very cranky and rude. Yeah. Okay. So I have to have my stuff. But in my latest thing, I was very convinced I was not going to do a joint calendar. Somebody asked me to do a joint calendar. I said, no, I will not do this joint calendar. I don't want it. It's not your business where I am or where I'm going. And then within a week, I had created our own joint calendar on the phone. Because not only is it nicer to know what that person's doing, then you can, it's easier to make plans. And it turns out I want to know what she's doing.
Okay.
Not because I'm a stalker, because it's nice, right? And then I don't have to constantly ask. So I was surprised that I ended up being the one to make the joint calendar. Because I, at first, was like, don't get in my, I'm going to be quasi-single. I'm staying in this, I want to be in this relationship, but I also want to be like a single operator.
Are you a single operator?
I mean, no, and I never was. Like, I don't want to see other people. I'm a monogamous, but I want to come and go as I please, right?
Okay, yeah.
But it turns out when there's another person involved, you actually have to, like, you got to take them into consideration, and right. I want to be taken into consideration. That surprised me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have to say.
Okay. Yeah, it surprised me when you were telling me about not wanting to join calendar and then getting it.
I know.
That was so surprising. Okay, so the routine thing. Go back to the routine thing and the lifestyle. Is there anything about your lifestyle you've ever changed in order to be with someone else?
That I changed?
Yeah, that you changed in order, when you moved in with someone, that you changed about yourself.
I mean, yeah, a lot. I was married with kids. I never had kids before. They were my ex-wife's kids. And so I had to change my whole life. And that I could not have the freedom to come and go as I wanted.
Right. Okay.
And I kind of rebelled against that after the divorce, you know?
Right. Okay. Okay.
And then I was with somebody who really didn't want even to date me, but was living with me. And so that was kind of confusing.
No,
too.
Confusing for everybody.
That, yes, I know. So that made my life a little bit complicated.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
And you, Miss Routine?
I have really, like, I have things the way that I like them. Like, I have some pet peeves. That are,
let's hear that from the audience member who knows about them.
So I have some pet peeves that are just like too much for me. Like if you're going to open a drawer and take something out, you need to push the drawer back in. That's the whole point. That's why they're on sliders, so that it can actually go back in when you're done. And so when you leave it open and I'm like rushing around the corner of the kitchen and I don't know what's open and I rack my hip on the edge of this drawer that is not supposed to be open, then it is very painful. So I think if you
are you, but do you say something about that every time?
Every
are
time.
You like putting up signs around the house?
Well,
to close
okay.
The thing.
I haven't gotten to that point yet, but I did think about that because there's also the issue. Like there's, and this has been in many relationships where it's like you pull the chair out and you don't put it back. Like I just want things to go back to where they were. And that's it's my only rule. Like just like if you find something a certain way, then put it back the way that you found it. I don't want to put the scissors away. I don't want to have to try to track something down. And that doesn't seem to be something that anybody I live with really, like, that's not a priority.
I don't think, I'm not sure, but that there's, if that's a degree of, like, OCD or anal.
Oh, yeah, I'm anal. I'm the first one to say that.
Yeah.
But I know that about myself, and I know that I really like.
But do you warn the person beforehand?
Yeah, I mean.
Did you give them a warning?
I give them big warnings because no other
than. Because I say I'm very persnickety.
I say that I'm very particular, and I do. Even the person who I...
But nobody realizes until they move in with you just how
nickety
or anal you can be. And we're both Virgos in our defense.
Well,
we can't help it.
There's this one thing where there's these, like, cans of drinks that I had in the refrigerator, and they were, like, sparkling water. And every time I'd go to get one, they were always gone, and they weren't replenished. And so I finally took one out one day, and I put a little tag on that said, Corey's, do not drink. And I'd leave it in there. And then every time I would drink that one, I'd take a new one and I'd put it in and I'd put my tag on it and put it back in the refrigerator. So I always had a drink.
Did other people think that's rude?
Probably, but I always had my drink. But
well, that's most important.
But in the grand scheme of the relationship. But the point is that I know that about myself and I know that I get really like antsy. And so, you know, no one is as anal as I am that I've lived with. And I've had to just sort of be okay with like piles of things and I'm not okay with it. I just have to like refrain from making a scene.
Right. So what do you do?
I just wallow and cry inside.
And talk about it later.
And then process it for myself.
Yes, exactly.
And then clean up after other people and then say, I shouldn't have had to clean up.
Okay, well that came up recently because I'm all about closing the toilet lids because in Seattle, a rat will come up your toilet. So I used to even put something on the toilet lid. So, because that happened to a friend of mine. Yeah, rats come, 550 rats come up in the King County sewers a year. So I always have those toilet lids closed and I have dogs. So I do not like to see a toilet unclosed. So do I say something every time I see the toilet lid unclosed? Yes. I do.
Okay.
Because it needs to be closed.
But that is very irritating
to the other person.
I know it is. So I don't know how to do, I don't know how to do that. So sometimes.
Then why don't you just close the drawer and be quiet about it?
I do. I close drawers. And I've always closed drawers. I've always pushed chairs in. I've always returned the scissors. I've done that and I do that in every relationship. And it doesn't help that I have a teenager who's at home that feels like she is the main culprit of most of my closing of the drawers and those kind of things. But I know that about myself, so that's one of the things, you know? It's like I'm particular. I get that.
Well, there has to be, like, a balance, right? A calculus of your – I mean, you had someone move into your home recently, and does that make it different than if you move into someone else's home?
No, I think it's – I think I want it to be equal.
Like, if you moved into somebody else's home, would you be as anal?
Yes.
Do you think you'd have the right to be that anal?
I would be that anal, yeah.
Like, I feel like I have the right to be that anal if I was in, like, it's my home, but yet I let someone move in, it becomes our home. Do I have the right to keep being like that?
Yeah, I think so.
Do I?
Why wouldn't you be?
Well, it's kind of rude to the other person.
Well, it's always rude to the person, even if it's your house. I don't know. I don't think that it matters whose home it is.
You just have rules that you have to live by.
Yeah, and they're not anybody else's rules. They're my rules. And when other people don't live by them, they don't care. They're not their rules. But they're my rules, and so.
Well, how do you have to, someone else have to respect those rules, and do you go to therapy then if you're not able to work it out? Like, have you ever had to end up in therapy over that stuff?
I have, yeah. I have ended up in therapy over stuff like that.
And people.
And it didn't help.
And people, why?
Because there was almost like a rebellion. It was like it got worse. It was like, ha, see what I can do. But it, you know, and that wasn't
maybe the therapist wasn't helpful. But.
No, the therapist was not helpful. And there's a lot of good therapists out there. We just did not happen to pick one.
Interesting.
Yeah. Huh. Okay. So let me ask you though about space. Do you have your own dedicated space or have you in the places that you've lived with people, like your own, you know, like office, or your own room or your own basement or den or something?
Yes. When I've moved in with other people, I have had a desk, like in a house. I lived in a 3-story home and I had a desk in the bedroom.
Okay.
Cause I only came with a carload of stuff, right? So I guess it depends on what you want. But when the other person moves in and they want something, you have to like really talk about it or give in, right?
Yeah.
Cause that person who moves in needs to have a space.
They need to have a space. Yeah.
And some people just want to straight up get their own new home together, right?
Yeah. And that, I mean, and I know we've talked about it. You know, you get to a certain age and you have a place you've been maybe living for a while or you even own it. And what do you do when two people own homes and they want to move in with each other? What do? Does somebody sell theirs or somebody rent theirs? You get a new one. What do? And it becomes much more complicated. The first person I moved in with, I was living like on campus. I was working on a college campus. So I didn't even have I had a couple suitcases.
Right.
We rented something together. The second person, we rented something together and we both had like milk crates and a couple duffel bags. So we started from scratch. And then I had a relationship where I had a home and my partner didn't. And so it was easy to move in, but like, you know, it isn't always like that where you can either start fresh or you can, you know, blend something unless one person's willing to give up their space. And
right.
And that, I haven't had to deal with that yet. Have you had to deal with that where you've had two people who've owned something or like?
No, not owned something. I've moved into other people's homes and then I just have my little area.
Okay.
But I do have my own home now who somebody moved in and I have to make space for her desk and for her own space. Somebody's sitting right there.
Some random just stuff.
But I like a certain aesthetic, right? So I only want white walls and white everything except for the colors can be the pillow or something like that and making room for somebody else's taste. That's
a big thing. That's a really big thing, right? So you, but you, like, I'm particular about doors being closed, but you want everything to be white.
All the walls have to be white. Yes. Okay. Everything.
So I would say that's also a little particular.
Yeah. But then we're making space for different tastes in artwork or in like the bedding or stuff like that.
Okay. What if you're, somebody moved in with you and hung up the ugliest picture you could possibly imagine? They loved it. Ugly. And it's like a 5x5.
Yeah, there's always
right over the bed.
That.
Right over the bed.
Whose bed though?
Your bed. The one you sleep in every night and you see this picture.
Well, I already have things over my bed, so if like somebody came in and just put it in there or moved my stuff, I would be upset. So you have to discuss it, I think. And there has to be give and take and understanding that somebody else is moving into your space. You need to welcome them, but they also have to understand they're coming into your space and they can't just, you know, like take over.
Spread their stuff.
Like I literally spent 4.5 hours on Saturday moving furniture around to see what's the best configuration. Okay. After my meltdown about the dog beds, right?
But is there any veto of anything? Like, again, going back to the...
Does the owner have veto power? That's
No, the partner. The partner have veto power, not the owner. Because just the partner.
Well, see, but isn't there an inequity in that? Yeah, would the partner that moves in have veto power? That's a really good question.
So let's just say you own...
Even if I say, oh, this is our house...
Right. You own the home. You have an ugly picture. Your partner wants you to take it down. Is that different? Then your partner coming in and saying, I have a picture and you think it's ugly and they want to put it up. Is there a difference?
Yes.
Why?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if there's a difference, but now I'm getting all riled up again thinking about that. It's really hard because you have to compromise, right?
Yeah.
If you don't, are you going to lose the relationship over an ugly picture?
I don't know. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, does it matter that power dynamic?
Well, the power dynamic matters, and you should work to create the most equal one.
Right.
But I think it's very hard to do that.
It is, okay.
Wouldn't you say?
I would say it is, too. It's easier to say, I'm okay leaving an ugly picture up, than it is to actually hang an ugly picture up.
And I think this is the issue for a lot of people, because people aren't buying new places now, right? Like, if you meet somebody and they have a home, and how about if you meet someone and you both have homes, or you want to live together...
Yeah.
Should you sell the other one or should that partner keep it?
Right. I don't know. In this market, it makes it almost impossible.
Right.
To make those decisions.
And you should never sell your property. You should always rent out. If you own a property, don't sell it. That's what I say.
Yeah.
Because why? Just rent it out.
Well, especially if you're not sure how the relationship's going to go.
And no one's ever sure about how a relationship's going to go.
That's why you have a cohabitation agreement.
There's no assurances in life.
So you can have some guarantees. So, okay, let's switch some gears here and talk about something called emotional labor, because I think this is something we don't talk a lot about in moving in. We talk about who's going to do the dishes. We talk about who's going to walk the dogs or how much money we're going to put into a joint account, but we don't talk about emotional labor.
What do you mean by that?
Okay, so like emotional labor is the person who just inherently is kind of the worrier, the follow-upper, the one who just makes sure that everything sort of flows. So they're the one who, like, if you notice that there's bees swarming around the front of the house, they're the one who goes in right away and is like, you know what, I'm going to call an exterminator. Whereas the other one's like, well, it's whatever. It'll just get taken care of. Or the one who worries about something is out in the, you know, in the night sandbagging, or is the one who's saying, hey, you said you were going to walk the dogs. You're going to walk the dogs, and then asks you 400 times. Then you finally walk the dogs. But is that really an equal division of labor if that person had to ask you 14 times to do it? So the emotional labor, if you've ever been a parent, you know what it is. You live in a constant state of emotional labor. You have to constantly be worrying and thinking. So when you've been in relationships, who's the one who tends to be that driver, the one who carries kind of the burden of that emotional labor?
I'd say mine have been fairly equal, but my ex-wife would say I was lazy in that regard.
Why would she say that?
Because I just don't care that much until I suddenly do. That's my problem. Like, I don't care until that second that it bothers me, and then I say something about it, which is rude, and I'm not saying that's the right thing to do. But I don't care. I just, like, live and let live until suddenly something is bothering me.
Okay. Even if something's bothering her earlier than it's bothering you.
Yeah, but that person has to communicate, right? Like, again, how many times I say this in the podcast, communication is key. If that person doesn't tell you what they need or want or what's bothering them, I can't read their mind. And so when you say emotional labor, I think there's also emotional labor about communication. How much are you going to communicate? What do you expect, you know, somebody to know? Like you, I'm sure everyone's been with someone who says like, oh, you should know what I'm thinking or you should know this. Well, guess what? I can't. I am very smart, but I'm not psychic, right?
Well, you kind of are psychic.
Well, I am a little bit, but not in like.
But not in the important ways.
Not in the way of like, I know exactly what's bugging you.
Right. Okay. So yeah, I mean, and the communication is important, but there is this element of emotional labor. Like who's the person in the relationship who's kind of carrying the burden of making sure everything runs smoothly in the relationship?
I mean, I guess it depends on the more detailed person, right? But I know that that's a huge issue in relationships. People get really irritated with the mm-hmm. other person who's not doing what they should be doing.
Right. And it's not always their fair share. They might be the ones doing all this physical labor, but they might not be.
But this is probably what leads to a lot of divorces or breakups, right? Because, and people don't talk about it and then they become resentful. But the better thing is to not resent, to just express your needs. And if you're not on the same page, you're not on the same page and you gotta go.
Well, I mean, one of the causes of divorce that we hear about a lot or separation is that one partner says that the other person didn't appreciate them. And it's not necessarily like the bringing them flowers. It's they didn't appreciate the emotional labor that they're putting into the relationship.
Well, we've talked about it before, like love languages, right? So if my love language is to actually do things for the other person or do the household chores or do this, if that person's love language isn't that and they can't understand that that's what you're doing, they get irritated and resentful, you know? So it's like when you're in a relationship, you have to consider their Myers-Briggs personality. What kind of personality are they? What is their love language? How do they express themselves? What's their astrological sign? Because we're irritating Virgos. And so when I just blurt stuff out all day long, the shoe shouldn't be there. You need to put this here. Why is there water on the counter? It's not because I care. It's because I'm verbalizing what I see. Right? And so somebody else perceives that as what a jerk. And I would use harsher language if not on a podcast, right? But it's true. It's hard to live with somebody like that. And if you're going to take, if you don't understand what their way of expression is, you're going to take that stuff personally and it's going to become a huge source of resentment. And I think that most people who got together at first could probably stay together if they do therapy together and have a decent therapist and an astrologer and a psychic and an Akashic reader who will tell them about their past life. It's worked for me.
Oh my goodness. Okay. All right. I do agree with you on those things,
mm-hmm.
but I do still think that there's an element of, even if you understand how each other is, and I understand, I could still understand that you're not committing as much to the emotional labor as I am. And
but
still
that's where you have to decide, are you going to stay in it then?
Right.
Is that important to you?
Right.
Is it? Do you break it off or not?
Right. Exactly. But I think some of those things you can't see until you move in together. Because
there, you've now made my case.
I know.
You're moving in right away. And then you find out and then you can get in and get out.
Yes, that's my philosophy. Get in and get out right away. Definitely. All right. So just a couple other thoughts and then we're going to open it up for some questions. All right. This is a really big, kind of a big question on my mind is I've been told two competing theories about how to best live with someone. One is to let the little things go. Just let it go. And the other one that stands in opposition to that is say something when something bothers you before it builds into something big. How do you make meaning of both of those things together? What do you do? Do you let it go or do you say something?
I say something.
On all the little things.
Everything.
Every little
and
thing.
And then I say, we really need to talk about this.
Oh.
I'm just talking
gosh,
about
you say
it.
That phrase? We
yeah,
need to talk
I'm just saying, I just need to express myself. And you're
okay,
free to
okay.
do the same, right? The
okay,
other person
okay.
should say.
But even the littlest things, there's nothing
no,
that you just like.
Nobody truly ever lets anything go, do they? Nobody ever lets anything go. They act like they might. But they're either self-soothing in some way or the resentment's building inside of them. So if you don't talk about it and work through it and say, maybe you work through it and you say, okay, fine, we're just different, right? We're just different in that mm-hmm. way.
So you land on the side of let's talk about
everything.
All.
Let's talk about everything.
Okay.
Somebody who recently moved in once said, I don't think I can do this much talking. And I said, well, you better get used to it because this is what's going to happen. You have to talk about everything.
Okay.
Everything.
I do. I have become one of those people.
Everything has to be talked
about. I have become one of those people, but I wasn't before and I would try to let things go. And you're right. They would just build up and then
yeah.
it would burst into something else. But sometimes really, truly something is a fluke. And if you make a big mountain out of a molehill with some like minor thing that's never going to happen again, then it does create extra conflict. So,
but I think that's the thing. Is it a one-time thing or is it something that's going to happen a lot?
Right.
Right? That's the difference. If it's a one-time thing, let it go.
One-time thing, let it go.
Right. But if it's repeated, you've got to talk about it.
Well, that's the danger though, because you think it's a one-time thing, you let it go, right? And I always say that hope is not a strategy for dealing with conflict, right? Hoping that it'll never happen again. Because then when it happens again, then what do? Not only do we, if we bring it up, then we say, oh, well, remember like 2 weeks ago when you did this, and we laundry list them. And it's unnecessary. And they say, why didn't you bring it up 2 weeks ago? And you say, well, because I didn't think it was ever going to happen again. And then,
well, then you're and then you're my thing about talking about everything.
Talk about everything. Okay.
Just work it out.
Work it out.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to end with this question for both of us. What was something that was, surprising to you about living with someone that you thought was going to be a point of contention? Maybe because it had been with previous partners, but wasn't something at all that was like a point of contention later on, like something that like was like a big tension point with one partner, but then with another, you're like, this isn't even a thing. Did you ever have any of those?
No.
You've never had any of those?
No, everything's a point of contention.
Okay.
I don't live in a state of, no, everything's a point of contention.
So let me give you an example of one of mine. So one of the points of contention was, I was with someone who was like a massive introvert who needed like serious time and space all the time. And I was like, that is going to be a huge thing. I don't know if I can deal with that ever again. And so for me, that was like a point of contention, but my future partners, that's never been an issue with them. So I.
Wait, because the future partners weren't introverts?
I had one that was an extrovert, but one, no, they weren't all extroverts. So it was just that. She just needed to do it differently. She like had to have this exact space and all of this. And, you know, and it was just, it manifested differently with other people. But I was so worried that it was going to be such a deal breaker that I was like, absolutely, I will never date an introvert again. And I'm like, well, that's silly because they all didn't act the way that my ex did. So I thought I built it up to be much more than it was because it never ended up being an issue ever again.
I don't know that you've ever dated an introvert again, but we talked about that before, but. No, everything's an issue for me. I'm just going to go with that.
Everything's an issue?
Everything bothers me, okay, and I talk about it.
But was there something that bothered you about an ex that you were in another relationship and that didn't come up at all?
No.
No, everything comes up.
Everything comes up.
Everything comes up.
Every time. With every person. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. Well, then let me flip it around the other way. Is there something that's been surprising about living with someone that is really good that you weren't expecting to be better than it maybe it was?
Yeah, all the things I'm doing now that I'm surprised I'm doing, like the calendar and the a lot more togetherness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's good. You like
I like it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I do.
You do?
I do.
Do you have location tracking on each other?
Yes.
Okay, just want to make sure. Okay, good.
But just to be fair, a lot of people have location tracking on me.
I have location tracking.
Yeah, you do. And then 9 people have my key.
Okay.
Just in case something happens to me about my pets. My dogs are my most important creatures and I need everyone to have access to my house. Yeah, we should ask the people we're dating what they think. How about that?
I'm pleading the fifth on that. But, okay. So let's talk about things that are surprising. So, things that I love about living with other people. So let me tell you what I didn't like. I had a couple relationships where some of you may know this, who don't live together or who didn't live with your partner, the bag, right? The bag that goes back and forth between houses. We're all familiar with the bag. Many of us keep the bag partially packed because we know the frequency with which the bag goes back and forth. And so I didn't like the bag.
I don't know what you're talking about. What is the bag?
It's because you move in on day 2.
So I know. Why the rest bag? Of us,
for the rest of us,
what
happens is when you don't live with your person you're with and you go back and forth to sleep over, you bring a bag with like pajamas and like after contact.
I guess I never bring a bag. I don't know if this bag.
Okay, so how many of you are familiar with the bag? Anybody? Everybody's, come on, most everybody's familiar
with
the bag.
Maybe I just use their toothbrush or something.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know this bag.
The bag. So the bag, it sits in your hallway and you know it's just a reminder that you don't live together. It's a reminder that you have to come home. It's what you pack in the morning really early when you leave for work and you think, I'm sad, I don't want to go because there's this bag. And the bag is like a symbol. I've had it in many relationships, the bag. It's the precursor to moving in. It's the bag. And it's, so for me, the best part of living together is there's no bag. Like that's my favorite part, is that like there's no thought that like I have to leave or they have to leave or any of that. It's like that you are settled, that you're together. And there's no bag. We've unpacked the bags and I don't even know where my bags are. And right. the bags happen with everybody except for the person who lived across the country because they were all local. So the bag.
You're glad to not.
I'm glad to not have the bag.
That's
the bag
why you
was
like
a
living
symbol.
With someone.
The bag was a symbol of having to like come and go and I didn't love the bag. So. All right. End it with something cool that you love about living with people or a person, a partner.
I don't know. I just like being with the person.
Just like being with the person.
I mean, it's just nice to be with someone that you actually care about and love.
Yes.
And you're not like constantly like, I don't know, trying to figure out who's going to be where, who's doing what. And like I came home from pickleball the other night and the person was there and it was great. And not in another state. And it was awesome.
That is awesome.
I know. Because I could go play pickleball and then not have to, like, be sad when I get home.
I know, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You could be happy. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let's take some questions from the audience, okay? So we're going to grab some folks, some cards. Anybody want to pass your cards around? All right. We are back with some really scintillating questions here. Love these questions. Let's start with this one right here. We'll get both of our takes on it. We're going to do some rapid fire answers. What time frame qualifies as you hauling it?
I think you're 3 days, my 3 months.
3 months is you hauling?
Yeah. When the person, you've only seen the person 3 times because they live out of state.
That is you hauling, the amount of time, yes.
But a lot of people think that's shocking amount of time.
All right, well, let's ask the audience here. How many of you say it is anything less than 3 months is you hauling? Raise your hand.
Yeah, see? Anything
less than 6 months.
What is an average time frame? That's what I want to know. Kira, who decides what's the average time for people to move in? Like, what's the average time? Just shout it out. When's a good time to move in with someone?
A year, 6 months?
A year, see? It's all over the place.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right, all right. All right, all right, all right, all right, all right, all right. Oh, this is good. This is also about the U-Haul. I want to know who drives the U-Haul or do you share?
One person drives it.
And the other one follows in the car with the 9 dogs.
With all the dogs, exactly.
All right, next
one. I always drive the U-Haul. I'm the driver.
Okay. Oh, this one's a good one. Is it healthy to not want to cohabitate?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Especially if you both have your own places and they're close enough, what is the point?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that for other people.
It is totally healthy to want whatever it is that you want. The key is to make sure that the other person also wants so that you...
It's communication about what each person wants.
Right. And
really,
as long as it works for both of you,
right. We're not
good.
Judgers.
Well, except that we are. Yeah, we are. Okay. If the dogs will never get along, would you need for one to die before you could move in? This is a great question.
I actually know two friends who one guy had, I think, like 8 cats and the other guy had a dog. They didn't move in together for something like 6 or 7 years until the dog passed away. And then they finally moved in together. I wouldn't. I would make a separate room. I'd put on an addition to the house. And put that animal over there. That animal would get its own room.
Uh-huh. Because animals are like children.
Yes.
All right.
Animals deserve their own rooms, too.
Well, I have said this, like I said earlier, I had somebody move in after a few days and got to my place and said, oh, I didn't know you had a cat. I'm allergic. You're going to need to get rid of that thing. And I was like, there are shots for that or you can get back on the plane. So,
yeah.
So that was, and so she did this like immersion therapy where she stuck her face in the back of the cat's fur for like 2 weeks and snuggled with it. Allergy's gone. So we're all good.
But pets who fight amongst each other different.
Yes, but if it's a pet, though, if there's a pet contention, yes, it's a real thing.
Exactly.
Okay, have you ever encouraged an ex to move back in after a breakup?
Encouraged or pled, begged? I've begged. I've also begged to be taken back in.
But to be taken back in to be in a relationship or just to live with you?
To be in a relationship again.
Okay.
I've begged.
You begged.
Yeah, I've begged.
I've never begged. But I have taken an ex back in only under the premise that we were going to try to have a relationship, not because they needed a place to live.
But why not? Why not try? I mean, you should try, right? At least once, multiple times.
I don't know. It depends on why you broke up, but.
Well, I think it's a good idea. I would say don't let anyone judge you for it. Just do it.
Exactly.
Do whatever you want to do. That's the moral of this entire podcast.
Exactly. Done.
We're just giving some tips.
All right. How do you know when you should speak up about the little things? Idea, the scissors away or water on the sink. It feels like it could be never ending. It is never ending. This is my life story.
Yeah, that's called cohabitating. Sorry.
I think I wrote this question.
You move in with another person and you're just going to deal.
How do you know when you should speak up? I mean, Tracy says speak up all the time. I say choose your battles. Honestly, I say choose your battles. If it's like the 15th thing that you brought up that day and that person's had a bad day, I don't say anything.
Well, yeah, that's different. And you got to judge the other person's mood.
Right.
Right? You have to be compassionate about their failings.
Or you could put little stickers on things like I do. Okay. Let's see. How do you maintain your independence or not become enmeshed when you live together?
This is the whole subject of one of our new other episodes. This is a problem. And I was going to be never codependent again, just interdependent.
Interdependent.
And you can't be too independent, right? Or you're not going to have a loving relationship. So therapy can help with that. Books about therapy, podcasts about therapy, about interdependence versus codependence. And we have a great episode in season 5 with our codependence no more expert, Lindsay. And everyone should listen because codependence is just as harmful as hyper independence, the polar opposite. So you have to learn to become interdependent. And that's not easy.
No, it is
so
not.
So I can have the joint calendar, but I can still go play pickleball when I want to go play pickleball.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yep. The other thing too is just also making sure that when you're nesting or when you're coming together, particularly at the beginning, that you honor the things that you love. If you like to read, don't compromise. If you like to go, like I walk every day. I don't compromise that. And if it means that we can't have a date until later on or something, that's just what it is. But you don't want to do that so much so that you're so independent that you don't have any connection at all. But it's important to be able to say, what are those things that are really important to me? They're the non-negotiable.
Again, talking.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. All right, we saved this one till last.
This is Corey's least favorite subject.
Oh my gosh. It makes me blush. Okay. Does sex drive, you can maybe say it, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Does sex drive go down when you move in together?
I don't know, does it?
Why are you asking?
I guess let's pull. Why don't we pull the audience?
Pull the audience.
It?
Okay, let's see.
I mean, just over time, obviously. I mean, okay. I think in many scenarios it does.
Okay,
right?
Let's look at the first year because typically relationships do kind of even out. So within the first year of moving in together, how many of you would say that sex drive decreases than before you moved in together? Raise your hand if you say it decreases within that first year.
Nobody.
No.
Nobody. See? Then you go out 2 years, 3 years, 4 years.
And then,
but there's all kinds of books about how you can keep it real.
Keep it real?
Keep it going.
Yeah.
Does it need to die?
Do you need a book?
Do you need sex to have a good relationship? Do you need to have a great sex life to have a good relationship?
Physical intimacy is important to me.
Is that sex?
You're going to make me say the word again. It's physical intimacy is important to me.
Yeah, but there's varying degrees of physical intimacy, right?
Okay.
And that's how this ends.
All right, and mic drop. Thank you everybody for coming tonight. If you liked what you heard, check out our show notes for resources from today's episode. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram under Rock That Relationship and go to our website at rockthatrelationship.com for updated episodes and more great information.
Thanks for listening. Now go rock those relationships.